I'm recording this devotional I'm giving you today from Jeremiah, and I'm going to start at really before that, at verse 4, but I have an introduction before I get to the text. But from the time that he was a young teen until his old age, Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord to Judah and to Jerusalem. And it was not an easy word. It was a harsh word. It was the prediction of coming judgment and the destruction of Jerusalem. And many would die by the sword, famine, and pestilence. And the rest would be taken into captivity in the kingdom of Babylon. And as he cried rivers of tears, Jeremiah's words were words of fire. And for years, the people, from the king, the priests, and the prophets, they were angry with Jeremiah. They were living in a time of luxury and a time of prosperity, but not for everyone. The poor, the widows, and the orphans, the powerless, and the weak, these were being neglected and, in fact, taken advantage of. And so the people of Judah, another problem is they had not learned the lesson of the northern kingdom. When the kingdom of Israel split after Solomon's reign, the northern kingdom Israel was pagan from its inception. They created their own religion, claiming to follow the Lord, but they weren't really following the Lord. And eventually they succumbed to worship of the Baals, the Baals, which means master or lord. And there were many lords that these pagans followed. The worst was Molech, who called for children to be sacrificed, burned in the fire. And so Israel or Judah had not learned that lesson. Israel, the northern kingdom, was overrun by Assyria and its kingdom and its people taken captive. The southern kingdom, Judah, they continued to worship the Lord, but in form only. Isaiah would say, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And so they too would succumb to the false gods of the Canaanites and the Baals, even Molech. Because of these pronouncements of the coming judgment, in a time of material prosperity, Jeremiah was branded as a false prophet. He was a troublemaker. He was public enemy number one. For years, his ministry carried on, him bringing that harsh word of judgment. While the true false prophets, get that, true false prophets were encouraging the king and the priests and the prophets with the cry of peace, peace. Then Jeremiah was disowned by his relatives. He didn't have the comfort of a wife either. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine being called to such a ministry, where I don't have a Susie with me, and everything I say is rejected by the people. And he was arrested. He was thrown down a cistern. He was imprisoned. And yet his word was the true word of God. When the first siege of Babylon came, as the true prophet predicted, 10,000 people were taken captive. And Jeremiah writes a letter to these exiles. Here's something of that letter. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie. For they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." So let me just stop there. He's telling the people that go into exile, be the best citizens of that nation you can be. And the people that were left behind didn't like that message. The false prophets who had initially said, peace, peace, you know, Babylon's not coming. Now they're saying, 2 more years and those captives will be back in Judah. And Jeremiah was still branded a false prophet, though his prophecy of the siege of by Babylon came true. It was 10 years, about 10 years, between the first siege and the second siege. And toward the end of the 10 years, when Babylon is going to come again, the king Zedekiah, the puppet king, is in rebellion. And the prophets, he's bolstered by their false teaching. 2 more years and the people will be back. And so the people need to hear this. Jeremiah 29, again, the letter that he gives, beginning at verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed, not 2 years, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you. Now, for the people that refuse to submit to Nebuchadnezzar and the false prophets, again, said 2 more years and they'll all be back. Jeremiah warned those who remained in Jerusalem, you're going to die either by the sword, or you're going to starve to death by famine, you'll starve, or you'll be given a wasting disease, pestilence. And they did. After the 10 years of the first siege, the puppet king Zedekiah, as I said, a rebel refusing to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, and all who remained in Judah, they refused to go. They were killed. Jeremiah was taken captive by the recognized leader at that time. I forget his name. It's likely that Jeremiah died in Egypt. Now, think about this. What was the message? This is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. You know, I saw something, by the way, on Facebook, a coffee mug that says, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Get that. I can do all things when I cherry pick the scripture. Well, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, plans to be good to you, plans to restore your wealth. That wasn't so great for the people that heard that message. They were in captivity. Yes, they could marry, but they still were in captivity. They lost their home in Jerusalem and Judah. And the people that remained in Judah, what plans did God have for them? But the sword, pestilence, and the plague, you know, a famine. So think about it. God's, that initial horizon, the people that heard this message and the people to whom this letter was written, that wasn't a message for them. They were going to die. They were going to go into exile. 70 years, these people would be in exile. Yes, if they submitted and became the best citizens of the land, but it sounds like they didn't when you read what Ezekiel had to preach. Remember, Ezekiel's message is from God, wherever I have sent you, you have profaned my name. That's why I'm going to give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. So the message was not for those people. It was for that next horizon of people, the people who would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, including us. God has wonderful plans for us, and we need to trust him, even and especially in a time like this. I'm almost done here. God is faithful to his word, and faithfulness to his word means that he will exercise chastening upon his people. Hebrews 12 tells us, endure hardship as discipline. The Lord is treating you as sons and daughters, children, his children. And what earthly father doesn't discipline his child? What's the point here, Pastor? God has brought judgment to America. God has brought judgment to this world. This worldwide pandemic is a discipline to God's people. It's judgment upon this broken and fallen world that increasingly is saying we will be our own gods. I can think of no greater affront to the living God, who is our creator, than for the creature to say, I'll tell you whether I'm a male or a female. I'll tell you who I am. I'm not going to submit to you. And you know what? The generation of young people, even those who have been in our church, they're falling prey. They want to know, what's the big deal about homosexual love? What's the big deal about a person choosing their own gender? Our nation and the church is being disciplined. And so what's the call when we're being disciplined? Jeremiah called people to repent. And what did God say in that letter? I promise to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's the call for us today. And we have our own false prophets, as I mentioned in the sermon. These so-called professing evangelical Christians who were, even as they said, Joe Biden is president, they're saying, no, 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 it's going to be overturned. God has spoken to me. God has given me direct revelation. Trump has 4 more years. Listen. And some of these prophets who said this are teachers that people in Fairfield Church will listen to. Anyone, I tell you, who says he's getting extra biblical direct revelation is, by that very fact, a false teacher. Now, I believe that there are some sincere, true Christians who fall prey to that belief that they can have new revelation from God. But those who boldly, you know, declared they knew from God that Trump was going to be elected president for 4 years, they are false prophets. So, the state of Christianity in America. Many evangelical Christians and professing Christians, they do not know their Bibles. They do not know the Word of God. And that's where Fairfield Church comes in. You are a church, a community of faith, that longs to hear faithful preaching of the Word of God. That's what you've called me to do. That's what you encourage me to do. By the grace of God, that's what I work and strive to do. I don't always do it as faithfully as I should. It's a miracle I'm still here. Just ask Susie. But I'm grateful for this church. And when we come through this pandemic, I hope it will be that we have come to appreciate anew that we are called to worship the Lord at particular times. That when we have times of fellowship meals and times for discipleship activities and times for Bible studies, I pray that we have seen that we take them for granted. That's what was lost to us in the shutdowns and the lockdowns. But when we can come together, may we have a renewed appreciation for that, those activities and that work and that fellowship. We need to encourage one another. And one of the most profound ways that we can encourage one another is to be here when the church is called to worship Jesus and his Father by the power of the Spirit every Lord's Day. And when we are called to have a fellowship meal, and when we are called to Bible study, my hope is that once we come through this, and the Lord blessed us in 2020, financially, we were blessed, and we are in a pretty good shape financially, which a lot of churches aren't. You know, I had a breakfast, not breakfast, but coffee in a little Debbie donut stick with Mark Gebhardt, Mark, who's pastoring a small church. And we talked about the fact that there are people who have probably not going to come back to church. And he said Barna, who is a Christian surveyor, he takes a survey of the state of the church. He says that it's likely and guesstimated that 30% of your congregation will not come back. That's a sad thing. It could be that God is winnowing from the church chaff, people that really aren't Christians. So my hope is that this church will remain. Listen, we're in a diminishing demographic. That's not a good thing for the church. You know, on the main street here, homes that were owned by people and passed down from generation to generation, there came a generation that said, we're not living in Fairton anymore. We're putting these homes up for rent. So we have basically a transitory population in our immediate context. And many of them, there's, when I went to visit on Main Street a couple years ago, there were six houses where some of the people couldn't even speak to me in English. The kids had to come out and tell mom and dad what's going on with this guy at the door inviting them to vacation Bible school. So listen, we need to trust the Lord. We have been a faithful congregation by his word and spirit, by his grace. But trust the Lord. And let us, when we come through this, appreciate what we have in this church. Heavenly Father, make it so by the word and spirit that you've given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. And now I'm going to ask if Gus will come. And Gus, here's your little podium here where he will present to us. Here is Blanche Hitchner. Okay, she's online. Another online participant.